Let's go across to New Zealand now. The host of Mornings on SENZ, Ian Smith, joins us. Good morning to you, Smithy. Great to catch up with you again. Mate, can I start with a rugby league question for you and what your listeners are saying around expansion? It's become a hot topic. We know that the 17th team will be included probably this week. But what are footy fans in New Zealand saying about possibly being an 18th team?
Well, I guess, Matty, good morning to you and to your listeners. One of the big focuses for us is actually getting some footy over here. You know, it's been so long since the Warriors have been able to stride out at home, and there's a very loyal fan base here, and they're desperate for some action here. So I think it's probably priority number one for us, but I don't think, I haven't heard any adverse reaction to it. The fact that it's perhaps going to be based in Queensland is the news we're getting here too. We're excited about the prospect of a new team in it. With all intents and purposes, it looks like the Warriors, at the start of the season anyway, are going to be based over in that direction. So probably Cameron George and Nathan Brown, just a little bit of research on some new players or some players who have been spread around in different directions, but it hasn't been a hot topic to the point where people have been too opinionated on it. We've tried to get a bit of opinionate on it, but there's nothing controversial at our end.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about, you know, what the game can do just on your first point there about getting rugby league, about getting the Warriors back in action in front of their home fans and giving more NRL live when we can back to the fans over there that have missed it. I mean, we've taken State of Origin, you know, to LA before. We've taken it overseas before. So I could imagine maybe you could put that on the table as a bit of a sweetener for fans over there to say thank you. Perhaps we could play a State of Origin game there next year.
Matty, that would be huge. I mean, it would go down well. They don't play many games at Eden Park because it's traditionally just the rugby ground, but it is the biggest capacity stadium in Auckland by far, and they would make an exception for a State of Origin game, I'm sure, and we'd love to welcome rugby league of a decent level, of a really top level, back into our country, I should say, on that score. The other thing that the NBL have come up with, the National Basketball League, of course, which we have the Breakers in, they're going to split the season to the effect that the early part of it, obviously convinced that COVID will still be around and particularly in our side of things over here. So at this stage, they're looking to have a schedule which incorporates the last half of the season totally back in New Zealand, back in Auckland. So that's the carrot for the local fans there, and that would be absolutely special. Whether the NRL have the ability to be able to do that and schedule down the track, I do not know. But that would be a nice possibility because in the immediate future, I don't see the way we're going over here where we're just our numbers are increasing and we're not quite sure which direction we're heading in, whether to take it on full force or whether to go back and sit back under lockdown and wait. We get different versions on a daily basis. So that may be something that the NRL could look at, a lopsided draw favouring the Warriors towards the end of the season.
Yeah, I don't envy those at NRL HQ who've got the spreadsheets open because I think they've done everything possible just to get to the end of this season and now they've got to turn their thoughts again to so many unknowns next season. Let's talk some cricket, mate. The Ashes, of course, got the green light. What did you make of the back and forth between the ECB and Cricket Australia and the relevant respective players' associations? I mean, the modern day, players travel with families. They do expect certain things. They've got fair questions, I think, to ask around quarantine, whereas some people just say, come on, you're a bunch of cricketers. Just jump on and just get over here and play.
Yeah, I'm a bit in both camps there, mate. I'll tell you why. You know, the time that you actually play cricket, and I found this too, I played to the age of 34, is that it's quite a small piece of your life. In all essence, it doesn't seem it at the time. It feels like, you know, it's been everything you've ever done and you start to get a bit sick and tired of it. But I can promise you there's a lot of life after retiring in your mid-30s that you have to go through. And you look back on it and you know, you remember it fondly. So in that respect, I think what I'm trying to say is that you should be committed to playing. While you're playing, you should be committed to playing. These are difficult times we live in, I know. We didn't have player associations back in my day who were very, very powerful. And they, whilst they don't appear to be making the decisions, it's still in the hands of the boards as such. I don't believe it is to a large degree. We see that in New Zealand rugby as well, where the players association is very instrumental behind the scenes in getting the best possible deal for the players, which means the boards have to relent in different directions. So that to me, the way that played out, I didn't like that because I love the Ashes. I'm a neutral. I've commentated on a couple of series and I found it just so intriguing, enthralling. I couldn't take my eyes off it and I love it. I absolutely love it. And we've got the Ashes coming into New Zealand on Sky Sport over here and I simply cannot wait for the first ball out of the Gabba. So I was very worried at first that it might not take place at that level. I always thought that England would find a team. I thought they'd find a squad of 15 amongst the ranks and how you'd find 15 guys who aren't in serious relationships would come over and have a crack, I'm sure. But I wanted the best team, so it's been the best possible outcome. But it's just something that we have to get used to now. I mean, we've just had a team that has withdrawn totally from Pakistan. That was drawn very quickly, that tour, as you know, came to an abrupt end before it even got started. England, on the back of that, withdrew out of a worry about COVID fatigue and all sorts of other aspects. So it's not now, it's ever going to be, I don't think, plain sailing just to organise a cricket tour with specific dates, specific venues and say, it will happen. It just ain't going to happen that way. But I'm pleased to see, really pleased, that finally Joe Root and his Players Association have come to the party.
How would you feel if you were Joe Root and you had somebody like, well, you had Michael Vaughan, an ex-England skipper and Ashes winner, come out and say that the opposition should win 5 blot? How would you think if you were in Joe Root's boots?
If I'm Joe Root, I don't want to hear it. But if I'm Joe Root, I'm maybe thinking it. And you can't afford to do that. I look at that Australian side. And there's all sorts of rumours, Matty. There's been about people losing the dressing room and disharmony around the joint. And Tim Payne would be one of the most outspoken cricket captains I've heard in donkey's years. But here's the thing. Australia and Australia, beginning at the Gabba, has been a very, very powerful force since the year dot, it seems. And that is why they want to start playing there. And I don't see anything, providing their pace attack, Stark-Hazelwood combination with Cummins, whoever else they want to play in that regard, they've got all-rounders now, and then you've thrown Nathan Lyon into the... I personally see them right here and now making a mess of that English batting lineup. If Joe Root doesn't get big runs, those games, for me, won't be lasting too long. It's as simple as that. England have got quite a good pace attack, but no speed, no bounce. And you know what it's like over there when the Kookaburra gets a little bit old, it stops swinging, stops doing something off the scene. Then that's when Smith, Lover, Shane and co. will dine out big time. So whilst Joe Root doesn't want to hear it, he wouldn't want to talk to me because I'm agreeing with Michael Vaughan.
And just finally, mate, the T20 World Cup, so not too far away. How are you expecting your team to go? Ranked 4th, Australia ranked 7th. The Aussies haven't had a good run in T20, never won the World Cup. What's the expectations like for you?
We've had a pretty good run in the competitions of late. A couple of World Cup finals in the one days without being successful, but of course we're the World Test Champions. So, and a lot of those players... are common to those teams and are playing in this as well. The guts of the team is still pretty much the same. The Southies, the Bolts, the Williamsons and co. They're in the middle of this. So there's a good feeling with the same coach, Gary Stead. I think we'll go really well. I'm not saying we'll win it, but I think we will be very, very competitive. But T20 cricket is just one of those anomalies where you get on a roll, things start to happen for you. There's not a lot of time to fix problems. You can't go away. There's pretty quick-fire games. It's a quick-fire tournament. So who hits the ground running, I think, will be very hard to stop. The other thing, Matty, for me, is the adjustment of conditions. We've got a few guys playing in the IPL who will play in this T20 competition. That's good news for us because the pitches over there are vastly different to what we know. They're vastly different from venue to venue. So who handles that the best? I would be thinking would be very powerful. India will be strong. I think Pakistan is so hacked off with the world of cricket at the moment, letting them down, that they will want to make a big statement and say to hell with you. And then I don't ever discard the West Indies in T20 cricket. because they've been previous champions. And of course, mate, that's all they do. Most of their top players don't play Test cricket. They chase the white ball money, and this is their gig. So I wouldn't write the West Indies off at decent odds.
Good on you, Smithy. Always great to get your thoughts, and look forward to chatting again soon.
Stay safe, mate. Thank you.
Cheers. Host of the morning show over there on SENZ. You can listen in via the SEN app. Very easy to do, and great show.